the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. I'd like to read one verse of scripture and just challenge your heart at this point in time in your life. Galatians 6 and verse 9, Paul writes these words. He says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, the 11th commandment. You say there's not an 11th commandment. I know that, but it gets your attention. What is that 11th commandment? And that is this. It's in the King James Version. Thou shalt not quit. How many of you have ever quit something? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have ever wanted to quit, but you decided not to quit? Sure. All of your life, you want to quit. Paul's writing to the believers at the church of Galatia, and essentially he tells them here in verse 9, don't quit. What's the quitting for them? In this case, it's the quitting of walking in the Spirit, being Spirit-filled Christians. Let us not be weary in well-doing. The word weary there means to lose your motivation to accomplish some kind of a goal. You could say it's like losing the fizz in a soda pop bottle. Have you ever taken the top off a soda pop and then you let it sit there for 3 days and you come back to drink it? Does it taste the same? No, it's lost its fizz. As a Christian, you often start out motivated, excited. I want to do this. I want to reach this goal. Everybody does this. We all are this way. We have goals we want to reach, but at some point in the middle of the goal, you're not so sure if it's worth it. It could be exercise. It could be diet. It could be education. It could be anything. But you lose your motivation. You lose your heart. That's really what it is. And so Paul writes, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. What's he saying? He's saying this, that the doing of right, and in this case, is denying your flesh, saying no to what your flesh wants to say yes to, and being obedient to God, which doesn't start out in the realm of your feelings. It actually starts out in the realm of your mind and your will. You obey God. And he says, if you'll keep on obeying God, he said, what it's going to do is going to bring about a change in your life. But he said, there's one thing you can't do, and that is you can't lose your motivation and faint. What does it mean to faint? It means to give out. It means to not reach the goal. And this is not something you can't do. It's something that you don't do. So fundamentally, what he is telling us to do is this, that we should not quit. When you came to Bob Jones University, did you not have a dream or a goal? What you wanted to accomplish? You start out your freshman year and everybody, all freshmen are excited. I mean, there are scared freshmen, but there's a lot of excited freshmen. You all start out really excited and then you get into about the third week. And you're not so sure that you're in God's will. Why? Because it's not easy. Or maybe you've had conflicts with a person, or you don't understand something, or you got your first set of tests back. And you wonder, is this something that I want to keep on doing? And then you look down the road and you think, man, I got like 4 more years. And 4 years as a student seems like an eternity, especially your first year. But by the time you become a senior and you look back and you think about how fast it's moved by. And suddenly you're facing graduation and the next step. You came here, you started out with a dream. Maybe it was spiritual. Maybe you came here, you wanted to grow spiritually. You finished high school. You look back at your high school years and you don't think you did all that well. And then you got here and you developed a set of friends. And some days you do well and other days you don't do well. Maybe you came here and actually you had spiritual disciplines in your life. You were faithful in Bible reading and prayer. But you sort of got in the rut of being at Bob Jones University and that's gone by the wayside and you find yourself discouraged. What am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying that it is vitally important that you finish what you start and you don't quit. In the spiritual world, to not quit means to persevere. Believing for a believer is always in the present tense. It's not that I believed in the past and I don't believe today. For the believer, you always believe. That's called perseverance. It means continuing on in the faith, not quitting in believing. In the business world, it means to seal the deal, to make the sell. In the exercise world, it means to start out with a goal and you target what you want to accomplish, whether it's the loss of weight or getting in shape, and you stick with it. Anybody that plays any kind of sports knows that the first week of practice is always the hardest week of practice. Why? Because you're generally not in the shape you ought to be in. You got to get in shape, and getting in shape is a painful experience. Where there is no pain, there is no gain. And it's at that point in the middle, especially if you're inexperienced and you're in so much pain, you think it shouldn't be this way. It should be a lot easier. We live in a dream world. We think life is easy, and it's not that easy. It's difficult. It's challenging. You want to quit. But what happens? You stick it out, and over time, as you stick it out, your body changes. You get in shape, and you finally feel like you can actually continue on and run and do what you're supposed to do. In the military world, it means to fight to the end. Oftentimes, you'll hear this. I heard it the 4 years I was in a military college. We said it all the time, because you want to quit, and you need to suck it up. Some of you need to suck it up. And you need to decide, I'm not going to be a quitter. I'm not going to give in. I'm going to find an easier way. Let me tell you something. It's not any easier than it is right now. You say, man, that's really discouraging. Well, it's true. It's not like somehow you're going to go somewhere and everything is easy. That's called dream world. Real world is that it's challenging and it's difficult, and you need to stick it out. You need to suck it up. In the marriage world, it means that you adopt a no divorce policy and you're going to work through the struggles you have in marriage. Generally, everybody wants to get married. And you think marriage is going to be wonderful, and in many ways it is wonderful. But when you're dating and you're engaged, it's not like, you love each other, but you really like each other a lot. You like each other like you like popcorn and hamburgers and hot dogs and French fries and soda pop and Snickers candy bars. Like you like Amazon Prime or Netflix or whatever. Because you haven't really got, you have to a degree, but you're at a kind of a low level of trying to figure out what does it mean to love and what does it mean to like. And you get married, and generally everybody's happy on their wedding day. They come back from honeymoon, and how was it? Awesome, great. Or it may be that you started out your wedding and your marriage, and you found out that there were some struggles. I've seen that happen with a lot of people. But at some point in your marriage, you begin to wonder, did I make a mistake? There's some things about each other I don't like. And then you're starting to realize what love is, because love is not necessarily liking everything. Love is choosing to give yourself to that person unreservedly. And love begins to kick in. And then it begins to overcome. And then it becomes, you begin to overcome some of your disappointments. Most of you have no idea what you want in a marriage, and you get married and suddenly your expectations start to come out. The things you want, the things you feel like you deserve. And what marriage does is marriage teaches you how to love. And to love means to be unselfish, to give yourself to the other person. In the 6 years I've been here as president, I've been encouraged by weddings that have been taking place. And actually, I've been discouraged. There are students that have graduated in the last 6 years have already been to the divorce courts. They quit. And I'm thinking, you never even got to love yet. Because somewhere along the line, you were making wrong decisions and you were sowing to the flesh and not sowing to the spirit. In the marriage world, to not quit means that you adopt a no divorce policy. In the sports world, it means that you finish out. It's all out in the fourth quarter. You finish the race. You give your all at the end. In the educational world, it means to graduate. It means to finish what you start. We have an online program through our our school for continuing online professional education is called degree completion. Do you know why we call it degree completion? Because you didn't complete your degree. Now, in some cases, they couldn't. Their reasons for it. Could it be they ran out of finances? It could be family issues, and we understand all of that. But sometimes they didn't complete the degree because they just quit. And the whole idea of coming back is to finish what you start. So the point of the matter is this: don't quit. Quitters never prosper. The problem with quitting is that quitting lasts forever. When you decide to quit, that quitting doesn't go away. Struggles are temporary. What you're going through now is temporary. But if you quit, that will never leave you. And once you quit, you've started a really, really bad habit. One of the worst qualities that you can ever have on your resume is that you quit. When I read a resume of a person and they're here for 1 year and they're here for 2 years and they're here for another 2 years and that's been their resume, I begin to wonder at first, what is going on? Why is it that you can't stay anywhere? No one ever accomplished anything who quit. We almost always quit because we want it to become easier, not knowing that it is never easier than it is right now. So don't quit. Don't let someone or something discourage you from reaching your goal. You will have all kinds of stumbling blocks on the way to graduation. If you have a friend that is discouraging you, or you find that you get around these friends and they discourage you, then get new friends. I changed my whole friend group in college, and it transformed my life. And let me say this, if you've messed up and if you've failed, don't quit. Sometimes we'll have students come and they don't do well. They make bad mistakes. They make sinful choices and they end up being dismissed from school. That happens. But I can tell you this right now, every student that's ever been dismissed from Bob Jones, as long as I've been here, and I believe this has been the history of the school, we actually want you to succeed. We want you to go back. We want you to get things right with the Lord, deal with things in your own life. And our greatest joy is to see you succeed. A just man falls seven times, but he rises up again. You're not a quitter because you fall. You're a quitter because you stop. Where would Peter be if he quit after he failed? Where would Moses be if he quit after he failed? Where would Abraham be if he quit after he failed? Where would David be if he quit after he failed? Where would Mark, the writer of this gospel, be if he quit completely after he failed? I learned a lot of geometry in high school. You know why? Because I took it twice. And I'll tell you this, I learned a lot of things when I flunked geometry in the 10th grade. I had it at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's a terrible time to take geometry. I had a teacher, I thought she was the ugliest woman on planet Earth. When I looked at her face reminded me of that mythological figure called Medusa. Snakes coming out of her head. I hate to admit it, but I just hated her. But she actually was a good lady. And she was hard on me. And I'd go to class and I'd look at her face and I'd go, ugh. And I put my head down on the table and I just go to sleep. I slept the whole semester and I flunked. And then I had to retake it in the summertime. There's nothing worse than having to take geometry in the summertime in South Carolina in June in a school where there's no air conditioning. I learned a lot. I learned that you never want to fail geometry again. And let me just say this. Everybody in this room has failed. Every single one of you have failed. You've gotten discouraged. You've gotten disappointed. You've been hurt. And you want to quit. And I want to say to you this morning, don't quit. Finish what you start. Some of you are freshmen and you're thinking, man, I like Bob Jones, but I don't like it that much. I think I want to go home and I want to get me a job as if somehow it's just going to get easier. Well, snap out of it. Wake up. finish what you start. Don't let discouragements or don't let disappointments derail you. But hang in there. Stick with it. And don't quit. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. You never call us to do something that we can't do, but by your grace. I pray for every person in this room who's thinking about quitting that they will not quit, but they'll stick it out. They'll stay with it. They'll stay by the course, and they'll trust you all along the way. In Jesus' name, amen.